Good morning, everyone. My name's Alex Key, and I'm sort of from the other end of the scale from the first talk. The talk we had in the beginning was theoretical, quite beyond me. I'm sort of the other end, down in the trenches, fairly pragmatic, just a regular old list user. And not much in the theory. So if you want the theory presentation, down the board on the left. So what I've done, I'm from the world of business applications, and I'm a chief technologist at a company called Comac, which is within Iron Mountain. When I say business application, what I really mean is an application like warehouses and manufacturing and takes orders over the rail, ships, names, invoices, people, very typical business applications. And that's a very, very different world that I'm sure a lot of you work on. Our world, as you will shortly see, is a very, very simple world, and yet there's a huge amount of wasting time goes into building these apps. And so what we've really done here is taken, sort of cobbled together some existing pieces to get huge productivity gains for what should be a very simple task, but people seem to make much more of than really exist. So Comac, the company that I work for, is, we call ourselves a fulfillment and digital print services company for marketing materials. So what we really do is have these warehouses all around the country, and we have these seas of digital print machines, and we deal with marketing and sales departments, and we ship all their products to help them with their marketing sales. My job, and you see this fairly clearly as we go through this, my job's all about building applications, business applications. I don't get into issues of language, design, and anything in the least bit technically interesting. It's just sort of down the trenches, keep the company running, turn out the business apps. Whenever I have to make a decision about whether I make something more elegant or not, I always have to turn to return on investment. It's like, yes, I'm sure it'd be more elegant if I did it this way, but what I have to do is say, well, what's the return on it? I'm not going to get much return. Elegant as it is, I'm not going to do it. And that may be very different from the world you operate in. But the one thing that I have noted is that LISP has created greatly to me being able to do this. It's a surprisingly pragmatic tool for getting my job done. And it surprises people. I had someone ask me this morning, so you're in business, what the hell are you doing with LISP? it is remarkably pragmatic. The way I got into this whole thing, the way we ended up with our solution, is I was reading Paul Graham's book on one talks about that macro, and I use that a lot. And I thought, what a really neat idea, this macro concept. I can write some code that saves me from doing a whole bunch of typing. And you'll see as we talk about business apps and the structure thereof, these apps lend themselves really well to this concept. Now, I can't deliver business applications in Lisp, and we can probably get into a good argument about that later. But I can't. But what I can do is deliver them in on the .NET platform, and once you've reasonably argued the same thing about the Java. I've chosen the .NET platform, which mostly means C#. There's no concept of macros in the world of C#. So I have the wonderful world of Lisp that's missing a chunk, and I have the wonderful world of .NET that's missing a chunk. So I did this sort of rather gruesome thing of just sort of pushing the two together, and actually worked remarkably well from a pure productivity perspective. What this really is, macros are really about generative programming. And so there's this whole concept of I write code that writes code. It sounds very familiar to people in the Lisp world. People in the Lisp world, it sounds terribly alien. What we ended up with is a domain-specific language. What is a domain? What is our domain-specific language? It's an application language. It's a language for building business applications. So I just describe the business application I want. I'll show you this. and it just goes ahead and does it for me, and I can run it. The whole thing is metadata driven, and so you'll see what we mean by metadata. I'm getting something I never metadata. What most of the metadata is in the business world is the database schema. So much of a business application is really just about manipulating the relational database. And so that forms at least half of our metadata. And you see that to be used. And patterns are really the key to making all this work. Unless you've got repetitive patterns, this technique doesn't work very well. And the one thing that business apps have is just that hugely repetitive set of same pattern. Another way to think about this is think about it in terms of a compiler pipeline. And there are a number of languages today that are starting to expose the compiler pipeline to the developer. Because this is quite a powerful concept. I mean, if you think in terms of Lisp, we start off with some source text and we probably go through macros, at least some part of that. We have Lisp representation itself typically will compile to assembly and here we are in machine code and the application runs. Or for a number of languages which will take some source code and they will compile to some intermediate language, C's always been a favorite, and then run on the machine code. Well, sort of what we've done is taken aspects of this little model and pieced them all together to achieve our goal. So we've taken some source text, and it has some mixtures of Lisp and C Sharp. We use the macro concept. We're actually using Lisp to do the macro part, but the output, instead of being more Lisp, is actually C Sharp. So we're using C Sharp as an intermediate language. And while this may sound very alien, it turns out in the business world, it's a nice level of abstraction. It's high enough that it does all things that business applications need to do, and yet it's low enough to do everything we need to do. So essentially what we've done is taken source text, the macro code generated thing across a concept, C Sharp is an intermediate language, which then runs, is compiled to the Microsoft intermediate language, then runs on the .NET CLR, the virtual machine, and just in time compiled to the machine. That's just another way to think about what we've done. Why did we pick this particular solution? Well, Lisp, as you all very well know, has some huge advantages in software development. But in our funny little world of business applications, I say little world, there are probably more business app developers than just about anything else you can think of. But in our funny little world, it has some fairly substantial disadvantages. It doesn't do GUI very well. Okay, we have no idea about that. Doesn't do relational databases very well. We can have some good arguments about that too. And there are a number of other things it doesn't do well. But it has some huge advantages. Now, .NET has its own set of advantages and disadvantages, and they're mostly the opposite ones to the world of Lisp. What we tried to do is combine the two. And that leads you to the natural conclusion. Well, what about Lisp.NET? And that's a wonderful idea, and we'll talk about that. Why did we build this DSL in Lisp? Well, we took all the good things about Lisp, so it's a functional higher order language, and we used functions and functional composition and querying, many of these concepts throughout. Our main pattern is this sort of map filter accumulate pattern. The functional aspect of this is quite critical to the way we do this. So, we take functions that we use in our filtering of the metadata. We map functions onto this filtered set of metadata to produce our code, and then we stick all this code together. That's the accumulator. Eval turned out to be pretty handy for us because that meant I didn't have to write any tokenizers and parsers. I just take the Lisp readme eval, and that takes care of all my Lisp stuff. So that really is about one of the big productivity gains that I got. It didn't take very much to develop. In fact, the first version of this took me about 2 weeks to build before I actually generated some pretty useful productivity in developing the generator. And I get, as you'll see, huge productivity. I'm actually using the generator. of course, I love the Lisp development environment. Sort of interactive, play with testable snippets of things, test ideas, fold it in, fix things, debug, you know, wonderful environment. We have to use Allegro, but you know more about the development environment than I do. Why don't you use C Sharp and .NET? You could probably use the same arguments for using the Java platform as the other manufacturer, but there are hundreds. And the last count I had is actually over 1,000 commercial components that I can go and buy, let alone the free ones I can download. And for $200, I can go out and buy a reporting tool that I can integrate into my app. I can buy a grid. I can buy a tool that will allow me to do, a graphical layout and, a schema diagram or something like that. $200. I mean, there's no way I can develop. Anything like that for that kind of money. So it's the productivity. I get huge ROI just by spending my $200. I solved that problem. I don't have to spend more time on it. And that's sort of one of the missing elements of because most of the commercial tool development goes on for big markets, which are the Microsoft world and the there's a huge library within the .NET world. It's a different library from the but it fits very well to what you need in the business world. It's really good at doing relational database work, and it's really good about putting database stuff into visual components, and it's really good about the plumbing that's necessary to do distributed deployments of applications and authentication and authorization and so on. We get into this whole issue of the infrastructure for deployment of distributed apps, and we're a fairly distributed company. We've got warehouses all around the country, each running their own little piece of the business. We've got centralizing all the website stuff where people come and order. It's a very distributed environment. We've got issues of authentication and authorization to deal with as we're distributed. Architecture is actually a multi-tier architecture, so we have some fairly minimal stuff on the client. We have application servers, database servers, web servers, and so there's a lot of intercommunication between all the distributed elements of the app. We use a lot of the message queuing methodology to move stuff around our network. This gives us an asynchronous but reliable delivery of our messages. That's a typical way orders come from our website down to the warehouse. This remote deployment issue. The fact that there's not much actually on the client workstation, we have application servers and database servers. And how do you do all that plumbing to connect all this stuff together, keeping your authentication and authorization? And so that's really a lot of what C#.NET brings to the party. Now, we talked a little bit about, what about Lisp.NET, and, let me tell you, I love that. I really will. And there's some work going on, and I think mostly, people would agree, it's in sort of fairly alpha or just about beta phases. You may have heard of Redunto from anybody, and this is sort of a bridge to the .NET world from Lisp. It's not Lisp in .NET, but at least it allows Lisp to call and use some of the functionality of the .NET world. FOIL from Rich Hickey, sort of another concept somewhat similar to that. There's been Rich Hickey some earlier work on simple .Lisp. L Sharp is something I found about quite recently, and Rob Blackwood probably talked about that. You see it. So Rob pointed out L Sharp to me, and that's a very interesting, a very promising environment for being able to develop these transactions. I only found out about it a few weeks ago, so I haven't really had much of a chance to do anything a little bit quick work. And then Common Larceny, Will Klinger and Jim Joe. Joe and I have been communicating over the last few months about Common Larceny. It's a very interesting development in this world. it's probably the closest thing to Lisp language running on the .NET environment. You probably sort of don't consider yourself production product yet. And that's one of my problems, because I operate in a real production environment, so I have to be very cautious about what I deploy in the production world. And all of these are sort of out of date, and I can't really take the risk, but they're very promising. One of the things I'd like to do is sort of just give you a little demo, just a little flavor for what all this stuff looks like, what it looks like under the hood, and what comes out, and how it all works. And what I'm going to do is I'm going to show you a piece of our system, which is about building booklets. And if you think about a booklet, what is it called? Booklet. Okay. And the kind of thing we do, for example, for health insurance companies, they distribute booklets like this for open enrollment period. And the way they use booklets like this is, just imagine you wanted to send out a booklet to your friends. You knew your friends didn't need all of these papers. There were just certain selections of papers that you wanted. Okay, so what our system allows you to do is kind of like come onto the web, pick the sections that you want, so you can dynamically compose the booklet just for your needs. We'll dynamically build table of contents according to which pieces you selected and so on. Right? So that's just sort of one little piece of what our system does. And then we print these and ship these out to know. Underneath the hood, in order to do that, you somehow need to define to the system what this booklet is, what it consists of, what pieces are optional, what pieces are required, and so on. So what I'm going to show you is a piece of the software that allows you to set that up. This is kind of a hint at the productivity gains we get. I can write about 400 lines of our domain-specific language, our application builder language. And this will generate about 25,000 lines of C#. And this stuff will actually run, and I'll show it will run. And what that really means is, in a fairly short space of time, you've understood what the users need, you've been able to generate a working application to give them and say, is that what you meant? And so then begins the real application development. Yeah.
So out of those 25,000 lines, how many lines do you think it would be if you wrote it by hand in C#? 5,000, or would it? Imagine generated code is going to be a little more.
No, actually it's not. This is actually what you would write in C#. Yeah. Now, I'm not saying that there aren't shorter ways of writing it. If you really lived in, if you only had C#, then you there are other elements of building it. I mean, for example, one of the guys I'm working with, Joe Yoda. Joe Yoda's famous for his work on adaptive object modeling. One of the peculiar things about our act is that it looks like one app as I'm talking about it now, but what it really is 150 different apps. Because each of our clients, we have clients in banking, industrial world, consumer, these all have some names, health insurance, biotech, big names. They all expect the system to work the way their business works, not the way we want to work. So we don't actually even have one system. What we have is like 150 systems within one system. And they all operate differently according to which client, and in fact, in many cases, even which user within that client is accessing the system. So the generation has to go even beyond that. Joe's been pretty instrumental in helping us with that thinking. And Joe's always pushing us to another way of doing this, which is actually to do some of this generation at runtime. And obviously, if you did it at runtime, then you build the generator in the runtime, and the code will reduce because we'd be using the metadata and the generation concept at runtime, and therefore the C# code would be pretty short. So I mean, there are other ways of doing it. So let's just take a quick look, and I'll try not to bore you because things are not really technically terribly interesting, but it actually is. Um, really the domain specific language. This is what I work on. And let me just run it. What I like about this is I can sort of bob back and forward between generating the app and I have an idea and I'll try some other way of doing this and so this is sort of part of the domain specific language. Let me just look at down to so this is a typical part of the language. So what we do is we go and find in our metadata this thing called assembly. Assembly is the structure of the book. So we have inventory items that are assembled in a certain way. And this is the tree structure of the document. We're going to display search results for people, and so we can choose a subset of the columns that we want to display. So that's part of our parameterization. That's the grid code. Which columns do we show? I'm going to build the database and the business objects that allow me to do all this stuff. I'm going to do some aspects of the GUI, the nav context, nav no context. That's sort of navigational stuff where I pick an assembly, what can I do with an assembly, and that takes me to other parts of the app which I've also generated. And then also I have the edit form part of this. Okay. So we've generated the app now, and I'm trying to stop the drama. Management screen. So we have this general concept of a search screen that allows me to find things and show results matching. So I'm going to look for all the stock numbers that contain the word book. And what I've done is I've used Lisp to generate the exact C sharp that you would write to build this. So
the visual part, or just the code?
The whole thing. The whole app. So the database stuff, the business layer, the GUI stuff, the controllers.
So you couldn't build this whole thing on a machine that didn't have Visual Studio in it until you got to this
point. Until I get to this point, right, exactly. Absolutely. Yeah. Okay, so here's a typical part of the model. I did a search, and here are the results matching my search. And you know, here's one of these grid thingies that cost me $200, which is really pretty powerful. I mean, not only can I display it like this, but I have built-in sort and filter and automatic data binding and why write that? Write $200. This would be really nice to do that in Lisp. and then here's the navigational aspect I have. So what I can do is I can pick a particular book and I can look at the assembly of that book. And this book actually consists of a cover and contents. And I can look at the cover and look at the contents of the cover. And that has a print-on-demand composite. And I can look at the structure of that. And that has an image and a shell, image being a PDF, the shell being the paper I printed on. I can pick elements, I can edit. So typically, from any screen, I can go in and edit. You notice how the edit is built here. This attribute has to be a drop down. This one takes us off to a search screen. The reason we don't do a drop down is, the list is too big, and so we want to narrow the search down. This is a checkbox. So all these GUI elements are all driven by the metadata. So whatever was an appropriate edit field for that kind of attribute, then that's what we generate and place on the screen. And then the layout thing, that's just a layout pattern that we have to choose for our attribute. A different layout pattern, it's just one less function, use a different layout function. You might want to do a tabular layout or something like that. It's just, it's all part of pick a style and once you put. Because typically when you're building these business apps, you want a consistent style. Because the users are going to use many different apps. And so you want things to look similar, familiar, so that they quickly learn how the app works. And so that's why patterns are good in this world. And one of the extensions we've taken this is actually, instead of generating screens like this, what we do is generate panels, which we can compose into screens. That's sort of another extension. So you get more interesting, more task-oriented user interface. Anyway, and then we've got all these maintenance functions. These are sort of fairly simple kinds of things that we can generate. So, fully working app, it took me about 400 lines of code to write it, 30 seconds to generate it, and I can present it to the user and say, what do you think? And now I get the real feedback of, I know I said that, but that's not really what I meant. That's where app development really is. Okay, so that's the app. Now, you wanted to look at the code.
For an app such as the one you just showed us, this would be something the customer would say, this is exactly what I want.
Yeah, well, in fact, this one they did, but that happens to be because I'm a domain expert in the world of marketing collateral performance, right? So I can do this. But if you're not a domain expert, then typically what you do is you listen to the user and say, so what do you need? And you build up a model of what they need, and you build this, and you say, is that what you meant? And sometimes they go, I did that for, this is sort of like a, off-hours project. The Sports Car Club of America, San Francisco region, the Sports Car Club of America, has a racetrack up in near Chico. And they needed a system that would manage their members and the members' cars and their races and payment. And so I used the generator to build that for them. So that went through a couple of iterations. Some screens were, that's exactly right. Others were, that's not what I meant. And so you go in and.
Might be actually looking at some of this is, I know I could build some of this.
Yeah.
It just would never occur to me to do it, right? Because.
Isn't that what this is about, though?
Yeah.
It's sort of. Innovations are usually about taking elements from two different worlds, right? And so, I live here in the business world, but I took your Lisp world. So that was my innovation, was combined from this perspective. You do things from another world, right? So you're in the Lisp world, and so you combine in a different direction. That's really what makes the world tick. Let's have a look at some of the code. So this is that assembly edit screen that we looked at. And So, you know, this is typical C-sharp gobbledygook. You know, these are all the assemblies that I'm going to use in my app. And this PowerPoint and Infogistics, these are some of the components that I've purchased, mine for $100. I have to declare all my items, all with explicit typing. Of course, I didn't have to do that, did I? So these are all the bits I need. Here's my constructor for this particular form. This is the form that I'm looking at. So I get the particular database I'm connected to, and this is a multi-database kind of system that connects to any one of my warehouses around the country. Here is my navigational stuff. It's what we call it passes, but that's the navigational stuff. This is the controller, the model controller kind of model. Display data, that's, you know, if I'm doing an edit, go get the record to edit from the database. If I'm doing an add new, then I need a blank record. let's go down here. This little section here that's collapsed, that's building the form. So that's how we declare all the objects, instantiate all the little text boxes and labels and buttons and lay them out on the form. I'm not sure you really want to do that, but you also do. Here's the display data function. So here's a couple of my, here's where I get my drop downs and populate them. So I go and get the data out of the database for the ones that I, from the metadata I knew were drop downs. So I'll go fetch those. And here's all my data binding the data from the database to the control. Here's a validation routine. Again, that's all generated from the metadata, you know, according to the type, according to whether it's required or not, that's all part of the metadata. Here's what we go through for a save, you know, make sure the data is valid, and then, you know, then pass the save off to the control, passes it off to the business layer, which passes it off to the database layer. Close button, do some validation, make sure you save stuff. You know, this is what happens when we, when we do a click on that, and then one of them was a search, go off to a search screen instead of a drop down, so that's what we do for that one. Anyway, do you get the idea?
Would you think that someone who spoke on this is given in C-sharp?
Yeah.
Would they find it fairly readable?
Yeah, this is exactly what you'll find. You go to the Borders and get some books off the shelf. How do I write C-sharp apps? That's what you'll say.
The comments, I mean, I spent time to really look at the comments. Are really meaningful to the problem we solve.
They are. And but, you know, again, remember what we have, and you'll see in a moment, what we have in the business world is just a huge set of repeating patterns. They're really simple patterns. See, that's the advantage of our world. It's full of repeating patterns. And so mostly what's changing is metadata driven. So what I need is my set of metadata, my set of patterns, and then merge the metadata into the pattern. And so even the comments are based on the metadata. So I know in this case I'm building the assembly edit form. I know that in this particular one, from the metadata, I know that when I go and look up an assembly SKU, that the list of SKUs is so large that I need a search screen rather than a drop down. So I generate this, and I know what the field was called, and so that's how I generate that. That's really all it is,
because
it is. It's all very
meaningful. I could think of a whole lot of domain problems that you would solve really wonderfully with this approach.
Right.
But if you had to ask the person you're delivering it to operate in the list of the world, they'd be lost. So if you gave them the intermediate representation, let them work from there.
Yeah. And there are some issues about that, and I'll talk about some of my future ideas on that concept at the end. I'm going in about 5 minutes. So, yeah.
Do you support a subset of CompoList in order to make this work? Because, I mean, I saw conditions and loops and things like that in the C-sharp code that you had generated.
Okay.
But would you support something like a funky matcan doing something in the priority functions and other things like that?
Classes
on the fly? Or...
I'm not quite sure what the question is. If I were writing this in list.net, then I'd be using matfilter accumulate all over. I'd be using functions all over the place because that's really this world. That's what this world is about. I happen to use it at a different level to generate this conventional C-sharp character.
I think the thing is, you're not translating Lisp to C sharp.
No.
You're
no.
just simply using Lisp to generate, you know, basically templated C sharp
code. I told you it wasn't going to make directly interesting. But you know, it's hugely productive in our funny little world.
Do you pre-print C sharp, or is that the memory? I do that. Is it so? Is it meant that C sharp programmer would then fine tune it, or would you always want to start from the list?
You know, it depends, right? And the stage we're at in the development of this, there's rather more goes on in the C sharp world than I would like. So some of it we pop back into Lisp, and either we fiddle with a Lisp or we fiddle with a metadata more than anything. And then sometimes we go, you know, sometimes, I haven't finished it yet, so sometimes we have to drop into C sharp and just, you know, carry on from there. And I've got some ideas about, you know, the next couple of steps to take it. It's an evolving thing. I just, it just keeps growing as I find it. I've got some parts, so. So, if you hang around after it, then we can do some practical some more. So, okay, so that, and let's get back to the little presentation. So, as I said, all this works best when you've got lots of repeating patterns. If it's really ad hoc stuff, then it's quite difficult to make this work. But what we have in the world of business apps is just a huge number of repeating patterns. Almost everything works on this pattern. You've got what I call the manage GUI. That's, you know, find stuff of interest in the system. Find an order of interest, a product of interest, an invoice of interest. You find something of interest and show me the list. And then given what I found, go do something with it. One of the most common things you do with it is edit it. Okay? Either add a new one or edit an existing. So that combination. Almost everything goes through a set of business rules. Almost everything then goes through a database layer that I've got to do, you know, SQL or store procedures or whatever. Put this stuff in a relational database, get the stuff out of a relational database, pump it back, maybe transforming it a bit out into the Google. And you know, this is the thing about business apps. It's mostly this stuff. It's really very simple. And yet, almost everybody handwrites it. There are other aspects that don't show on here. I mean, there are issues of deployment. So where does all this stuff lie, and how do you hook it together remotely, and what kind of authentication and authorization do you use? And so that is all part of the metadata and the templates, and you know, sort of all built into it. This is a sort of a GUI example, and here we have a sort of a Lisp version of the metadata. This is the fillable function table or view or whatever in the database, and these are the attributes, and then following the attributes in the metadata. Now, this set of metadata is actually a fairly simple set, but we have something like 25 different elements of metadata that we can add. And that drives all the different aspects of generation. I mean, that lookup display is sort of one of the ones. It says, if I'm in some other place and I need to show a billable function, what do I display on the screen? Well, it's the one called lookup display is the one I display. And so we have that entire way to drive all that. And then we have, you know, indexing, which typically is what drives what you're going to search on. And then we have a template. You know, you can probably recognize that little generic template. That's the one of the base forms that we combined with the metadata to generate a real screen, which is what you saw. Let's see. So we have this business application builder language. That's the domain-specific language. This 400 lines of stuff that I showed you did. It's driven by metadata. You sort of get a little flavor of the metadata. And then there's some parameters in there also. You know, some form sizes and which columns you want and so on. And then we've got templates and code snippets. So let me just give you a very brief look at templates and code snippets. So this is sort of like the snippets part. And so this is the sort of really ugly stuff. But, not very elegant, but it's actually eminently practical. And so I have little functions that return for me based on attributes, one of those attributes of metadata. That's based on that and based on, you know, various stuff. I generate the appropriate C-sharp to do, you know, whatever I need to do in that particular spot. And this stuff is called from a template. And the template really is this sort of mixture of basic C sharp, and then interspersed in it are all bits of Lisky stuff. And you know, so here's all from here. There's all a bit of Lisky stuff, okay? And so you know, the indent is just you know the pre-printing part. What am I indented at this part? And then within the snippets, we do the relative indent for that. That's how we do that part. And then you see, you know, remove it, and you have some remove it marks. We have, you know, so that's the filter part, and then we have disjoin, conjoin, curry. And then we map the function over the filtered set of attributes, and that's how we generate code that gets placed into the C-sharp.
Very, very simple. Are we using
processes for code?
Pardon?
Are we using processes?
Well, that's the thing I did earlier on. I just, you know, I used a later one, but I, you know, I just, I'll do it again. Right? Okay. So this is the domain-specific language that drives that. So this, I run this code, and that says we were looking at form edit, right? So it says, okay, take form edit, and we're in the context of assembly, all right, and then write it out to this folder.
Okay, that's really all it does.
Quite
very simple.
I'm going to skip some bits. But, so these are sort of basic results. And this is why it's interesting to us. Maybe not if you're really into the depth of learning, but why it's interesting to us. We've got a 250 database system, about 600 screens in it, and it only took 24 person months to pull it. And you know, you look at anybody else's statistics on handwriting that, and you know, and they'll be talking about you know a dozen or more person years. We've been using it for about 5 years, and we started off fairly simply. I said the first thing, you know, took about 2 weeks to build. And we started building actual server pages, that's our web front end to allow people to place it in the system. And then we started doing some DB6 stuff, that's the voice tracking that I built. And now we're generating all this .NET stuff. We found that it's highly evolvable, it's really easy as we change environments and as we change our needs, it's really easy to evolve the thing and regenerate, it works really well. It's highly maintainable from both aspects, the generator and the generation code, and it's highly refactorable. Works really well on business apps because it's just full of repeating patterns. Other kinds of apps are going to be more problematic. You don't have many repeating patterns, and the patterns are much more difficult to deliver. And there's the wrap up. So we took this sort of Lisp macro concept, you know, code writes code. And we applied it to the C#.NET world. We've got a lot of the advantages of Lisp, we've got a lot of advantages of .NET, we've got the same specific language, and out of it, we just got great productivity relative to our system. And I have a whole bunch of future ideas which we're working on various levels. One of the things I'm working on now is called business rules metadata aspect. So we're trying to build a business rules part as metadata and generate that a bit better than doing. I've got some good ideas for an IDE with visualizations, which would hide some of the Lispy aspects from the people who are, you know, like, what kind of name of Lisp? So well, we can hide all that. And then one of the things I've noticed in the business world is people cannot design databases. That's what they're doing. and that's actually where most systems fail. The database is correct, so it really doesn't matter what you go back to that. And so one of the things I'm working on is a database designer. And it's sort of like a, you know, an expert system that helps people through designing with a similar aspect from the database. So these are some of the key ideas. Well, I'm out of time. Thank you very much.